Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Fort Laramie and Gunsmoke. Our Fort Laramie tonight has a Gunsmoke cast member on it, which it often does. And this time it's actor Parley Bear, who plays Chester on Gunsmoke. And he does a really nice job over here in Fort Laramie. His acting is so sincere. The writing on this episode is just wonderful. Great episode. And, of course, written by Kathleen Height. She writes the last 20 episodes or whatever of this series, and so she'll be writing every episode, of course, from here on. But what I just kind of discovered, I just was looking over at Gunsmoke and seeing who was writing Gunsmoke, because I mentioned a few weeks ago that John Meston, after a huge run of episodes, kind of left the series and focused on the television series. And really, this is the season of Les Crutchfield. If you like Les Crutchfield scripts, this season, he writes almost all the episodes, just a few scattered that aren't. This one happens to be one that's not a Les Crutchfield episode. It's written by John Dunkel, who's also a fine writer for Gunsmoke. So I think you'll enjoy both episodes tonight, one by Kathleen Height, one by John Dunkel. And we'll see you folks next time for some more Gunsmoke and some more Fort Laramie.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Looks like the freight's at the far end of the train, Gorse.
I expect it is, Captain, because I took care to see the wagons was up front here to make the loading easier.
Well, see, they're moved to the back.
Yes, sir. You got the list, Captain?
Yeah. Two men unloading ought to be enough. Nothing real heavy. Here you are.
Rifles, carbines, revolvers, sabers. What says infantry equipment's here.
Well?
You don't suppose they tucked in a few howitzers? We only brought the two wagons.
Anything we can't haul back, we'll leave. Let ordnance do its own work.
Rest of it looks like ours. Bridles, halters, and straps, saddles, nose bags. I'll see to the unloading, Captain.
Right, Gorse.
You there, Captain.
Yes?
You from Fort Laramie?
That's right.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm station master here. You better come into my office and get this business cleared up.
Well, the sergeant's got the billing on the army equipment we're unloading.
Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Now you're here, I just want you to get them out of my station. I'm running a guardhouse, you know.
I'd give a little to know what you are talking about, mister.
Them two soldiers chained together in there, and the guard with them. They say they're bound for Fort Laramie.
Private Medford and Private Stringer, is that right?
That's right, sir. The little one, Stringer, he doesn't say much. Tall, blonde one, he's Medford.
And you're Corporal Benjamin?
Yes, sir.
Well, their orders say Fort Laramie clear enough. You got orders, Corporal?
Yes, sir. Fort Bridger, sir, from Fort Leavenworth. A transfer, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I was to escort Medford and Stringer this far, sir, and contact Fort Laramie to secure him from here.
Well, you made contact, Corporal. We'll take over.
I don't understand, sir. Fort Laramie's 40 miles from here. I only telegraphed 10 minutes ago, sir.
We had a good wind behind us on the way down.
Beg your pardon, sir?
We came to pick up a consignment of equipment. Left Fort Laramie yesterday.
Oh, well, then, what you said about the wind behind
was
you...
was a bald-faced lie, Corporal.
Yes, sir. The captain displays a fine touch of humor.
You mustn't encourage me, Corporal. Now, you better arrange for your transportation to Fort Bridger. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Good luck to you, sir.
All right, on your feet.
Yeah.
Private Stringer?
Yeah?
How's that?
That's me, Stringer.
You stationed at Fort Leavenworth?
I was took there. They give me this uniform, this tall one next to me, a length of chain, then they put me on the railroad.
You're a recruit, then?
If that means that I join up of my own free will, no.
You been in the Army before?
Mostly, I've been in jail. Don't it say on them papers about me?
If it did, I wouldn't be asking.
I've been in the Army 6 days. I heard talk you could make the arrangement on account of enlistments being slow. I could get out of jail if I signed, I'd join the Army.
Stand up straight. Now, you get this, Stringer. There's not the time to tell you how much learning you got ahead of you. But you learn, starting now, understand?
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. I guess we can take those chains off now.
Is there any reason you ain't asking questions of me, sir?
I don't have to, Medford. It says about you in your papers.
Well, maybe it don't say it all in them papers, Captain.
Says enough. There. You ride back to Fort Laramie in the wagons with the equipment. We don't have horses for you.
We ride free of these chains, Captain?
Free of the chains.
Man alone might jump off of one of them wagons.
Might.
But that ain't your worry, sir.
That's your worry, Medford. Jumping the wagon is desertion. If you walk away, you'll be caught. If you run, you'll be shot. Sergeant, dismiss him.
Yes, sir.
Platoon? Yes, miss.
Captain?
Yes, Sergeant?
I'll see the wagons is unloaded.
Well, pick what men you need, then take the wagons to the wheelwright. Tell him if he can't fix them proper, to burn them.
Right, Captain. About the new men...
What about them?
Are they assigned to B Company, sir?
They're not assigned anywhere yet, Gorse.
We could sure use them, Captain, starting right now with the unloading of the equipment.
They'll have to be assigned first.
Well, that'll take most of the rest of the day, Captain. There ain't more than an hour's work.
Get someone else to do it, Gorse.
Yes, sir. But there's a reason, Captain, you don't want Stringer and Medford to help.
Yeah? Reasons like you'll be unloading rifles and carbines and 50,000 rounds of ammunition...
I guess when you want to tell me the rest of that story, you will.
And there'll be a right time, Gorse.
Yes, sir.
All right, you two. Fall in behind me. You'll report to headquarters company for assignment.
All right, if I ask a question, mister? Captain.
What is it?
Well, now, I'm brand new to this life, I told you that. I don't even know where this headquarters company's at, and all like that.
I'll see you get there, Stringer. Any more questions?
I got one, sir.
Well, Medford?
When do they outfit us proper?
Proper, Medford?
I mean, I got this brand new blue uniform. When they gonna give me... And they're going to give me my rifle and sidearms.
When you're assigned?
They mean I should have them firearms then. Just like anyone else.
Just like anyone else, Medford.
Captain Quince.
Yes, Lieutenant?
Are these the transfer, sir?
Mm-hmm. Private Stringer and Medford.
The Major sent me to see they're assigned and quartered. He's anxious to see you, Captain.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Syberts.
Corporal Benjamin's telegram wasn't quite clear, Captain. Something about respectfully urging that we pick up two prisoners from Fort Leavenworth.
You get my telegram all right?
Yeah, saying you were bringing two transfers from Fort Leavenworth. Now, which are they, prisoners or transfers?
A little of both, I guess.
If Fort Laramie's to become a military prison, I'd like to hear it from someone other than a corporal.
Now, these men aren't prisoners anymore, Major. For some reason, they sent them as far as Cheyenne under Corporal Benjamin's guard.
You got their papers?
They're at headquarters company, but I read them. Stringer, they let him out of a civilian jail if he'd promised he'd join the army.
Oh, under that plan to make up for slow enlistments. I read about it when the order came through a couple of months ago. He decided to face that problem when it came up.
It's come up, Major.
Any idea what he was serving time for?
Oh, he gave me the idea. He's made a career for himself being in prison. I didn't ask about specific crimes. I know this. He's never been in the army.
We can fix that part. The other one, he from prison, too?
Yeah. Camp Butler first, then Camp Douglas.
You're talking about military prisons, Captain?
Union Army prisons for Confederate captives. Private Lacey Medford. He's our first galvanized Yankee, Major.
Galvanized Yankee? Never heard that term.
Well, it has something to do with iron. When it's galvanized, it turns color. Men like Medford, they were captured in gray, sent west in blue.
Well, like you say, Lee, this is a new problem for us.
Might not be a problem.
No, but it seems likely enough. Most of your men fought in the Union Army.
That war's long over.
Not in men's minds, Lee. For some men on both sides, it'll never be over.
Major, in B Company alone, we got Irish and English bunking side by side. Same with Germans and French. If we can't put a Yankee and a rebel side by side, we got more trouble than just Indians.
I'm glad you don't consider it a problem.
I said it might not be one. When it is, if it is, I'll treat it as a problem. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
The way you're talking, you've made up your mind to give me Stringer and Medford, huh?
B Company's got fewer men than the rest. Any objections?
No, not from me.
You like challenges, don't you, Lee?
You keep telling me I do.
Well, I hope Medford won't be a problem. But if he is, I'll feel better knowing he's your problem.
Thanks.
What's your impression of him, right off?
Right off, I'd say he's awful anxious to get his own rifle and sidearms. Till I know better, I'm going to figure he's itching to get himself an Indian.
I tell you, Stringer, these private riding lessons ain't going on forever.
Well, I got an idea I could ride just fine if I ever once got on the horse.
Well, you're no young'un. How you been getting around without learning the first thing about mounting?
I ain't been getting around, Sergeant. There's been no call for it.
Will you just sit where you come from?
Sit or laid down. You don't know nothing about me? I mean before?
Don't know and don't care. But you're sure looking more like infantry to me every minute.
You mean that Captain ain't told you about me?
Captain Quince got important things to think about.
Yeah, he sure has. That Medford. I was Captain, I'd think about him a lot.
Never mind about Medford. He can mount and ride and dismount with the best of them.
He oughta. He was in the dirty yellow rebel cavalry.
Stand a horse.
You don't care about that? You want a stinking rebel in your army?
Now, you listen good to me, Stringer. I got a guardhouse with a fine view of the Laramie River down there. Any more talk out of you, send you right there.
Well, I'll feel a sight safer in the guardhouse. I ain't been a month out of jail since I was 10.
Well, you just talked yourself right back in again, Stringer.
All right. Fine. Can I talk free about Medford now?
You got anything to say, you say it to me and nobody else, you understand?
Well, you ain't thinking this is no secret about him being a lousy rebel. Why, he tells everybody in earshot. You know, he's proud of it, right proud.
That's his business.
You fought in that war, Sergeant. How can you stand the thought of him being one of you now?
Maybe because I fought in that war, Stringer. What jail was you sitting it out in then?
You think more of him than me?
You're in for a lot of things you won't understand, Stringer. You can think them over in the guardhouse.
I ain't gonna think nothing over. But here's something you can think over, Sergeant. That yellow rebel's got himself a lot of guns, all kinds, rifles to pistols and back again. Think it over. See if you rest easy on it.
Medford's outside, Captain. You want I should send him in now?
In a minute, Gores. How far has all this gone? Can you tell?
It's all over. About him being in the Confederate cavalry. About how he was took prisoner, sent out here now. This thing about the guns, I hear that all through the quarters, too.
You seen the guns?
No, sir.
I checked ordnance and stores. Everything's accounted for. Ammunition, rifles, carbines, revolvers.
Well, he claims he brought them all in with him. The men say that.
In a haversack and saddlebag?
I'm just telling you what the men say, Captain. You said we was going out in a few days. You figuring to take him along?
That'll be up to him, Gores.
Yes, sir.
You can send him in now.
Right, Captain. Medford, Captain Quince will see you now.
Sit down, Medford.
I prefer to stand, sir.
Sit down. You got any complaints on your treatment here? I want to hear about them now.
I got a complaint. I'm here.
Well, I can't do much about that, Medford.
Neither can I. I want free to choose.
If you were free, what would you do? Go back home?
There ain't no home. There ain't nobody. Men like you saw to that.
Suppose you could get out, maybe stake a claim, maybe get a little farm,
no,
store.
It's all took out of me. I don't want none of that. I don't want anything save to be let be.
Oh, it's not all out of you. The hate's still there.
You bet it is. I get all the strength I got from hating.
Sure, you're feeding it all the time.
Well, there's a lot to hate. This here blue uniform, you can start there. That Spencer rifle you issued me. You gonna let me talk free?
You're talking right free. Go ahead.
Well, that's Spencer. I never seen one. I just heard a man about him. We used to figure you Yankees spent one day a week just loading them and the rest of the week firing them at us. We didn't have their like.
No, you didn't. So now you got one. It'll fire 8 shots. Only there aren't any Yankees left to kill.
They ain't nothing but Yankees.
You better get over that feeling, Medford.
I'm gonna die with it.
You don't want to die.
You know that, do you?
You had a lot of chances to die. You could have died in prison if you'd made up your mind to it. You could have died any day out here, starting from the first day you rode in on the wagon.
How you figure that?
You could have jumped the wagon. I'd have killed you. I told you that. And since you're here, you're on the rifle range real regular. The way you've been talking, you could goad a man into killing you.
The men, they've been reporting to you right along?
You've been talking your hate right free.
They tell you about my guns, did they?
Got a lot of guns, have you, Medford?
Well, you ain't searched real good, Captain.
I haven't searched at all. I'm not going to.
If I got guns, you'd have cause to be fearful.
Maybe. Got any more complaints?
What kind of a man are you? I told you I hate your uniform, everything about you, what you stand for.
I'm this kind of man, Medford. I got a cavalry company that's short of men. We're moving out in a couple of days. Now, maybe we don't like the same things or hate the same things, but we're stuck with each other, Medford.
Well, you taking me on an engagement? Taking me to fight Indians under your flag?
You scared of Indians, Medford?
It's not that.
I'm taking you. You got something you're living for. I want to find out what it is.
strung out about as thin as we can be, Captain.
You know, the longer they think we can hold them down there, the better. I don't think we'll be able to fool them long.
Got us outnumbered. 2-1, anyway.
Sure have, Mr. Syberts. Our horses still secure?
Behind the top of the rise, yes, sir.
If those Indians are smart, they'll circle us. There's enough of them to do it.
Have you thought about retreat, Captain?
I've thought of nothing else since we got boxed in. We'll retreat when we can, Mr. Syberts. If we can.
Captain, sir.
Medford?
Captain, can you see their horses from here? There must be a couple hundred of them.
The ones they stole, caught in the ravine down there?
Yes, sir.
What about them?
We stampeded those horses. Them engines would clear out of here in no time.
We'd have to ride a charge down there to stampede them. That's suicide, Medford. They'd pick us off one by one as we rode down.
Well, ain't that our only chance, Captain?
Getting killed's not the chance we're looking for.
Yeah, but, Captain, it's noise,
get back to your position, Medford. Now.
Yes, sir.
Hold your fire, men. Hold your fire.
Hold your fire. I brought your mount, Captain. You saw what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going down there, Mr. Syberts. He might still be alive. Medford.
I told you. Stampede run them off.
I told you it was suicide.
We was both right, Captain. You gonna court-martial me?
For breaking orders? Or saving our lives?
My rifle. Is it close by?
You want to use it, Medford?
No. Just you look at it, Captain.
Brass mountings? Your old Enfield, huh?
I carried that at Brandy Station. Along with an old flintlock and a German musket.
Good rifle, Enfield. I got shot with one at Bull Run.
I had to kill something with it. Captain, you said I had something I was living for. You remember?
I remember.
One decent thing. I was captured after Brandy Station, Captain. They caught me running away. Deserted. I had to do one decent thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're dying decent, Medford. That's something.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Parley Bear, Frank Cady, and Paul Dubov. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. The thud of approaching footsteps in a darkened room, the high-pitched creak of a door being opened stealthily, the tick of a clock that marks time running out for a doomed man. These are sounds that keep you in suspense. Connoisseurs of crime stories listen to Suspense Tuesday nights on CBS Radio because Suspense specializes in offbeat drama that makes the hair rise and the heart beat faster. Listen Tuesday night on most of these same stations for another taut, spine-tingling story of suspense. To you by L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely. You eating already, Chester?
No, sir.
Oh, why not?
Well, I didn't like to ask Alfred for no more credit.
Oh. Yeah, I heard that you were at Chalk Beeson's faro table again last night.
All right. Read me a sermon. I deserve it.
I guess an empty belly will do you more good than a sermon. I tell you what, you can think about that while I'm eating, huh? Yeah, that's where I'm heading right now.
All right, sir. But I think a sermon would do me good, too. You know, all about the evils of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
It kindly would lift me up, Mr. Dillon. The best one I ever heard was back in Prairie Falls.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting.
Circuit rider was a real hellfire and brimstoner. Come right into the gambling hall, he did, and stood up on the table. He liked to got shot before he finished the first sentence.
Look,
but
Chester,
he
could you tell me
out-shouted him and went right on. Took up a collection afterwards, must have got $40, $50. But there was only one trouble.
Yeah, what was it, Chester?
Well, nothing much, really. Only the money was in chips. See, he could cash them or play them. He played them. And he won. That kindly soured everybody on the sermon.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go eat now, Chester.
Well,
I'll be back.
There's more to the story than...
Hello?
Are you the marshal here?
Yeah, that's right. Did you want to see me?
If you're not too busy.
No, come in. This is Chester Proudfoot.
Hello.
How do you do?
My name is Ascom, Marshal. Clint Ascom. I'm a gambler.
Well, I kind of figured that. But you're not from around here. I'd say maybe you work the Mississippi River boats, huh?
That's pretty close. The Ohio.
Yeah. Well, you're a long way from water here.
Thanks to the Santa Fe Railroad. But that's only a temporary necessity. I have a matter to settle.
Oh, well, how can I help you?
I'm looking for a man. I've traced him to this vicinity.
Uh-huh. Now, you know his name?
That's all I know. His name is Cass. Jameson Cass.
Old Jim Cass? Well, I never figured him to get mixed up with gambling and such.
You still know him, then?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can direct me to him, then.
Well, he has a place out in the country.
Those aren't very explicit directions, Marshal.
No, they're not.
But they're all I'll get?
Well, I'd like to know what your business with him is.
It's a personal matter.
Oh, sure, but what?
You told me what I wanted to know, Marshal. He's here. I'll find him without your help.
Ask him. Why do you want to kill Jim Cass?
What makes you think I do?
A man eaten up by hate gets a look in his eyes. I've seen it too often. Now, why?
I've got reason.
Better be a good one. You say you've never even seen Jim Cass, huh?
Nope.
Well, he's a peaceful little man. He doesn't even wear a gun. And murder is illegal around here.
I'll remember that.
You better remember something else, too. Jim Cass is a friend of mine. You go anywhere near him, and it'll be a pleasure to run you clear out of the country.
It wouldn't do any good, Marshal. I'll get him, sooner or later.
Good afternoon.
Well, what in the world? He don't mean that.
I'm afraid he does, Chester.
But why? They ain't a nicer, harmlesser little fella anywhere than old Jim Cass. Now, what do you suppose could bring a man to hate him so?
I don't know, but I better find out. Chester, you watch things here. I'm going to ride out to Jim's. Huh?
All right, sure, but ain't you going to eat?
Oh, I can do that later. You keep an eye on Ascom, and if he should head that way, you follow and warn me.
All right, sure, I will. Well, Matt, how I just came down to eat with you. What's the... you going out?
I'm just riding out to Jim Cass's, Doc.
You are? Now, that's a long, hot ride to make for nothing.
Now, what do you mean, for nothing?
You won't find anybody there. I saw Jim Cass over at the Long Branch not 15 minutes ago.
Free yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live modern.
Free up. Freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Today, all over the country, more people are changing to L&M than to any other cigarette. And it's all because only L&M gives you full, exciting flavor through the pure white miracle tip. L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. So free up, freshen up your taste, live modern, change to L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
Well, hello, Matt.
Hello, Kitty. Have you seen Jim? Oh.
Marshal? Following me?
Well, I might be, Ascom. Kitty, can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure, Matt.
Is Jim Cass still around, Kitty?
No.
Now, you know where he went?
Home, I suppose. His wagon was hitched right outside. He got in and drove off about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
Well, what's the matter, Matt?
And I just want to see him alive.
Alive? Jim Cass?
Kitty, do me a favor, will you? Yeah. When I leave, you see that Ohio River gambler's entertained for a while, will you?
Sure, as long as he's got money.
Okay, thanks, Kitty.
Marshal, have a drink.
No thanks, Ascom.
Marshal, I've never had any trouble with the law. I don't want any now. This has got nothing to do with you.
A deliberate killing is the business of the law anywhere, Ascom.
He'll have his fair chance.
Sure, house odds, huh? I told you Jim Cass is not a fighting man.
So you'll do his fighting for him?
If I have to.
I'm sorry, Marshal.
Sure. But you won't stop it, will you?
No.
You must have a powerful hate.
I have.
I could lock you up, you know.
Mm-hmm. And postpone it for a few days, that's all. And as for running me out of town, I'm leaving anyway. To go out to Cass's. If you want to warn him, you'd better go now.
So you can follow me?
I can find him without your help.
Ascom, I'm going to warn you. You harmed Jim Cass, and I'm going to jail you or kill you.
Fair warning, Marshal. If you can do it.
I can do it. Anybody home?
Hey, Tom! Hush up out there now. Hush up. Stop it. Who is it?
It's me, Jim. Matt Dillon.
Oh, Matt. Good to see you. What brings you out here?
Can I come in?
Well, sure. I'll set the coffee to boil. It won't take a minute. Hey, some scorcher, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yes, sir. Gonna be a late winter. Must be something important to bring you way out here on a day like this.
It is, Jim.
Something about me, Matt?
Yeah.
Well, say it.
You know a man named Ascom, Clint Ascom?
Ascom? Nope.
A gambler, slick, young, dark-haired?
Oh, no, not likely.
From Ohio, riverboats.
No. I was back east, Pennsylvania, a couple of years ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I met some people, but I don't remember no gamblers. Not no Ascom.
Jim, is there any reason why a man you've never even seen before would want to kill you?
Kill me?
Yeah, that's right.
This fella, Ascom, he's here gunning for me?
He probably followed me out here. Says he's got good reason. Well, it seemed to me like you ought to know about it if there was a reason like that.
I don't know why any man I ever met wanted to kill me.
Okay. That's good enough for me, Jim.
What are you going to do?
Wait for him to come, then take him.
Well, seems like I ought to help.
No, you just sit tight.
Well, at least I'd like to ask him why. Gee, you reckon that could be him?
Yeah, maybe. I'll take a look. No, it's Chester.
Hey, Tom, shut up out there now. Stop it. Tom. Yeah. Oh, howdy, Chester.
Hi there, Jim. Nice dog. Say, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Ascom followed you out like you thought. But as soon as he spotted the place, he turned off. I come in to tell you like you said.
Yeah. Now, that's my mistake. Now we've lost him. He's out there somewhere waiting for us to leave.
Well, what'll we do?
Jim, maybe you better ride into town with us, huh?
And let a gunman scare me off my place. Something no Kiowa or Comanche was ever able to do.
All right, Jim. Come on, Chester, we'll head back toward town.
Yes, sir, but ain't we...
And then circle and come back.
Oh, well, he'll likely use that draw back by the barn. That's the way the Kiowa come in.
All right, Jim, but you stay in the house now.
Don't worry none about me. I got my old scatter gun.
Don't use it unless you have to, Jim. Come on, Chester.
Free yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live modern.
Free up. Freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Only the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip can bring all of L&M's full, exciting flavor through to you. And that's the big reason why today more people are changing to L&M than to any other cigarette. Remember, L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. So live modern. Change to L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
You stay here. I'm going on up.
All right, sir.
All right, hold it, Ascom. You're covered. Don't make a move.
Where'd you come from?
I'll just take that gun. Chester.
Yes, sir.
My mistake, Marshal. I guess I underestimated you.
I guess you did, Ascom. Chester, get the horses and we'll get out of here. Jim, I told you to stay in the house.
A man comes to kill me, I gotta ask him why. Just holster your pistol, Matt. This scatter gun will keep him quiet.
Now, wait a minute, Jim.
I do like I say, Matt. You too, Chester.
Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester. Maybe I'd like to hear this, too.
Yeah, but I don't like the look in his face.
All right, now, mister. My name's Jim Cass. You tell me yours.
Ask him. Clint, ask him.
I'm supposed to know you?
No.
We ever met?
No.
But you got the notion to kill me?
Then I'll do it.
Not while you're looking down this gun. Now you're going to tell me why. Talk, mister.
You killed my best friend. Without reason or sense. In cold blood.
Well, that's a lie. I never killed no man.
Jameson Cass of Kansas Territory. On the night of June 12th, 2 years ago, in a barroom on the Cincinnati waterfront. You pleaded self-defense and they let you go. Only it wasn't self-defense. It's taken me 2 long years to track you down.
But that was an Indian.
That was a Delaware Indian. He was my servant and he was my friend. The best friend I ever had. He was as good a man as you are, or any other white man.
Jim, is this true?
Well, Matt, ain't nothing to kill an Indian, you know that.
You had no reason.
Well, he jostled me, bothered me. Had no right being there at all with white men.
Oh, I'll kill you with my bare hands.
Stand back.
Ask him.
You're still taking his part, Marshal. You hate Indians, too.
No, ask him. I hate killing of any kind.
But Indians don't count. Is that it?
If it'd been my friend, I'd probably feel like you do.
Eh? Not this murder.
Ask him, did you ever think maybe Jim's got a reason for the way he feels, too?
A reason? What reason?
Well, out here there are plenty who feel his way. The situation's different. Indians aren't all like your Delaware. You take a look up there behind the house. That little grass plot with the flowers and the three headstones. Now, those are Cass's reasons. His wife and his two kids. And Kyle was put him there. Now, I don't hold with what Cass did, but what you're doing's no better.
I don't care what his reason is. I come here to kill him. I'm going to do it.
Ask him.
All right, Mr. Indian Lover, you will get your chance. Give him back his gun.
Now, Jim.
Stand back, Matt. This is between him and me. You stay out of it. Give him the gun, Chester.
No, Chester. Jim, can't you see that
I
you're
see
making...
I see he ain't going to be satisfied short of blood. Well, now I ain't either.
Now, wait a minute,
Stand
Jim.
Stand back, Matt. I'd hate to have to blast you.
Use your head, Jim.
Man comes to kill me. It's him or me.
Mr. Dillon, that's a shotgun.
Stay back, I told you.
Put it down, Jim.
Matt, I won't be stopped.
Mr. Dillon, look out.
Jim?
Matt, I should have known you was faster than me.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Oh, you had to. But I figured I had to, too.
Chester, give me your kerchief.
Here, Marshal. Take mine.
No.
Ask him. Maybe I had this coming. I never thought much about that Indian. Maybe I should have.
Hey, you be quiet, Jim, and lie still.
Marshal, I'm sorry I caused this.
It's a little late to be sorry, isn't it, Askham? Now, why don't you get out of here?
All right, I'm going.
Matt.
Is he dead?
No, he just fainted. Chester, ride into town and get Doc out here as fast as you can.
Will you let me get him, Marshal? Least I can do.
All right, Askham. Go ahead, but hurry.
Mr. Dillon, you think he'll really bring Doc back?
Yeah, Chester, he'll bring him back.
My, you took an awful chance with that cussed shotgun.
Well, it was a gamble, Chester.
Yeah, but one you could have lost.
Maybe you better read me a sermon on the evils of gambling.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. When your child raises his hand in the classroom, does the teacher have time to answer his questions? How many questions go unanswered in your schools because teachers in crowded classrooms just don't have the time to get around to each child? This is only one of the serious situations that's going to be faced again and again this year in schools all over the nation. Every child deserves the best possible educational facilities. Though a good deal has been done since the post-war years, increased enrollments for this term threaten to wipe out all gains. Our schools are packed by the largest enrollment in history. There will be critical shortages in schoolrooms, staff personnel, and transportation unless you do something about it. Join and work with your local civic group and school board now. Through the PTA and other groups, you can take action to improve the schools in your own community and help find more qualified teachers who are so desperately needed. Don't waste time. Your child's education is at stake. Don't leave it up to the next fellow because you're the person who can help improve our schools. This has been a public service message by CBS Radio. And now, William Conrad.
You know, the frontier saw its share of needless killings. But next week, Dodge City watches the most useless of all. Because of a bullet fired 2 months earlier, 3 men die. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Dunkel, with editorial supervision by John Meston.
The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin and Ralph Moody. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.